This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
6 minutes past eight on your Monday morning, and we are now joined in the studio by our favourite pet person. It is Marissa.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome. We love to have a chat to Second Chance Animal Rescue each and every month to talk all things pets, whether it be pet peeves or other things as well, to look after your furballs. And obviously with all of these not Mondays because of public holidays, we haven't had you. So we're so grateful you've come during school holidays.
I didn't know what to do with myself last week, to be honest. I'm like, something's just not right. I should be here on the radio.
Oh, we felt lost as well. Now, today the topic is the do's and don'ts of off-lead dog parks.
Yes.
Look, I'm going to start with the story that I brought to the table on Friday.
Hit me.
I took my parents' dog to an off-leash dog park, one that we go to. It's fenced in. It's great. He loves going there, loves playing with his ball. Mm-hmm. And someone came in with a quite large dog. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Kaloopy went over to say g'day, sniff its butt, yep, whatever you do. And then all of a sudden this dog just turned and started trying to attack Kaloopy. He's a fast runner. Mm. Like, you look at this little dog and you go, how the hell does that dog run so fast? Because he's a little bit stocky. He's kind of like a sheepdog kind of structure.
Yeah.
Anyway, ran, and this dog was keeping up and like pushing him into the ground. And he was up
pushing him?
Yeah. So, like, with
very
his
rude
mouth.
Yeah.
And he got cornered up against a fence, and there were some kids on the other side, and they're like, it's okay, he has a cage on his mouth. And I was like, okay, good. So at least he's not getting bitten. But there was still blood everywhere because this dog was trying so hard to bite.
Okay.
Muzzled dogs.
Yeah. It's a bit
off-leash
of a tricky
parks
one, isn't it? I think one of the things I wanted to bring up today was, I guess, the dog park is not for every dog, right? Mm. Just because you have four legs and can go woof, doesn't mean you should be at a dog park. So I guess it's picking the right, ensuring that you know your dog, first of all. And if your dog has behavioural problems, don't bring them to a dog park. It's not the right place. It's not safe for your dog or for other dogs or for the people that are there. So if the dog needed a muzzle already, obviously there's something going on behaviourally that the owners are concerned about. Maybe it's reactive to other dogs. Maybe they're doing some sort of training, whatever it is. A dog park with other dogs that are off lead is probably not the best place for that dog.
Mm.
With dog parks, I've never thought about it until we're just talking about this now. Mm. And I just went, okay, I know the councils have gone, these are specific spaces, these are dog parks. Do we know if there are like some things that make it a dog park other than just saying it is?
So generally they're a fenced off area,
okay, right?
Depending on the dog park, you'll have some areas for small dogs, some areas for large dogs. Some dog parks are just free for all. It's a fenced off area where your dogs can be off lead and they're not a danger to society, I guess, by running on the roads, potentially dog attacks, that sort of
and
thing.
And they're usually like away from, like, park.
Correct.
Like, as
away
in
from
playgrounds. That's what I meant to say.
Dogs like to run and it's
stuff.
Just a safe space for the owners to let them off lead, let them socialise. And they can be a really fun place. But there are some rules that you need to follow as an owner.
I guess as well, thinking about, is my pet antisocial when it comes to other dogs being around? What does it mean? It could mean thinking about the best time that you maybe want to go if your dog maybe doesn't have the right kind of vibe with other dogs.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure there are times that are better. For example, maybe early mornings or later, depending on how social your dog is and how resilient your dog is to other dogs. You know, you're going to have those dogs that have boundless energy that are going to want to run around nonstop.
Mm.
You're going to have, you know, lots of different breeds and different types of dogs. So I think it's ensuring that you have you know what your local dog park is like. Maybe watch the first time before you go without your dog and just suss out the types of dogs that are there. But there's definitely some do's and don'ts that might be a good idea to talk about today. If you have a dog that enjoys socializing with other dogs. I think you need to come prepared, first of all, to these types of dog parks. So bring your poo bags. Nobody wants to step in hot poop, you know, when you're there playing with your dogs.
And I actually did that yesterday, and it was like, frustrating. Just on the street.
Okay,
and it was just,
I know
it can sometimes not be easy with certain consistencies of the poops, but just keep it in mind, a wipe is helpful even on the footpath.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that's a great question. What if you run out of bags, or there are none available at the park, or
it happens.
Or
it
the
happens.
Poop is sloppy. Should you be trying to dig a hole? And
look, it's better than leaving it there. Or at least if people are around, you know, let them know that you're coming back. You know, go speak to a local business, see if you can buy a bag, or you know, find a piece of rubbish somewhere to pick it up with. Try not to leave it there. Or at least if you have to, come back and do your part to pick it up. I think it's really important.
I think that you've the digging little diggy thing, like moving it. Maybe the dirt, there's something you've got to be able to do other than just leaving the poo there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a confession.
What?
So we took doggos to the beach one day, and one ingested a little too much seawater, and it came out, not the front end, but the back end.
Okay.
And it was pretty liquidy, so we just covered it in sand.
No, but that's a good way. Look.
Okay.
I'm sorry, universe. It's better than nothing and just leaving it sitting there so someone
until
can stand
the,
in it.
Until the kids start least, to dig the hole.
I mean, all right.
It was a dog beach.
Point.
So if you're bringing kids to a dog beach, you know that if you're going
to be
digging holes, you might get poo.
I don't want to get technical about this, but at least the sand would have a consistency to help.
It soaks that stuff up.
I can't believe
up,
I'm
surely.
Getting yeah. It would soak up something. Wow. I can't believe I'm getting this technical.
Look, let's keep going with this. So let's be prepared when we go to the dog park. So poo bags are really important. Portable water bowls. Who's ever thought about that? You know, sometimes you need to think about diseases that can be spread, right? So your dog should be up to date with their vaccinations when you go to these parks, first of all. But bringing a portable water bowl is a really good idea because a lot of diseases can be spread through saliva. So having your own water bowls, it means your dog doesn't need to share water bowls with the other dogs.
That's
something really,
really
simple.
I've thought of that.
Something to be cautious about. You would think that you should stock up with treats, right, at the dog park. Be really careful with treats. Some dogs can't eat treats they can't eat particular types of treats, so you shouldn't be sharing them with other dogs. And it's very hard to give your dog one and all the other dogs are coming by. But also dogs can be really reactive with treats.
Food.
Correct.
Yes,
so that you need to be really careful because you might start a fight.
As with everything you always come and say, it's common sense, but I just don't think of it. You don't think of it, do you?
Yeah.
It's really tricky.
We are going to come right back with some more do's and don'ts. I've got some questions as well because I hadn't even thought about the whole bringing your own bowl. I was just like, dogs love sharing. Mm. Well, you're on Joy Breakfast. It's 14 minutes past 8.
Joy.
It's 8:15 on your Monday morning. You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean, and we're joined by Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue as we get into the do's and don'ts of dog parks and leads and poop and oh my.
Oh, my. Now, Marissa, one thing that I always laugh at is on the signs when you enter like a fenced dog park, it always says, you know, come on in, be responsible and make sure your dog has good recall.
Yes.
So that means you say your dog's name. Well, how do you combat free will?
Yeah, I was like, what's recall? Like, I can barely remember what I did last week.
Kaloopy will come when he's called. Unless there is something better or he doesn't want to go home and you're calling him because he knows that it's to leave. Usually if it's when he's around other dogs, he'll come.
Yep.
If it's about me making him leave, he won't.
It's like my kids at the playground. I totally get it.
Literally. Like, is there such thing as the perfect dog to take to a dog park or... are you always going to come across the Kaloopies of the world who have free will?
I think you always will come across those dogs. At the end of the day, there's no such thing as the perfect dog. That's the answer to that one. But you definitely can work on your dog's recall. So I think it is important that your dog has a level of recall. It is quite important because, say, for example, there's something dangerous your dog's sniffing at. You know, they see a snake, they see something near a barbecue, whatever it is you don't want your dog near, or there's a dog fight starting, that sort of thing. Yeah. You need your dog to be able to understand when it's time to come back and take that seriously. So I think that comes down to training as a young dog. It's really important to put the time into training and socializing your dog. That's one of the most important things to start with. If you're going to take your dog to the dog park, as we said earlier, it's not a place for every single dog. I don't think I know a lot of dogs that it's actually a perfect place for, to be honest. Mm. The right type of dog that can go to a dog park, you need to ensure that they do have a level of recall for their safety and for the safety of others.
You mentioned dog fighting, and I didn't really think about it, but yeah, you never quite know when a dog's going to get agitated or what sets them off. Sometimes they're barking in an affectionate way, and I've got no idea. What are some good ways when they get into a little bit of a heated exchange to kind of break that up?
I think it's really important, first of all, to understand your dog's behaviour and what they're trying to say. So dogs play very differently in different forms. Every dog plays differently. Some dogs you might see playing and you would say, oh, that's really reactive or aggressive, but they're actually just playing and being totally normal. And some dogs you might not notice, but they're actually starting to amp up and it's going to lead into a dog fight. So I think being able, first of all, to have that recall, as you said before, is really important, because then you have a slight amount of control over getting your dog back. Mm. Ensuring that your dog has something simple like make sure your dog has a collar on, right? So if you needed to break up a dog fight, you've got something to hold on to.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess also for ID purposes, you want to make sure if somebody accidentally opens a gate and off they go, they've got an ID on their collar and hopefully a microchip at the same time. So it's an easy way to get them back home. But making sure that, first of all, you understand what is normal for your dog and what's not. And if your dog's not having fun at the dog park, take it home. It doesn't need to stay there. It's not, you know, I sit at the playground sometimes with the kids and, you know, that's a 5-minute free time for myself. I totally get it. But at the end of the day, if your dog's not having fun, it could end up really bad. So at the end of the day, take them back if they're not enjoying themselves.
Now, this next question, you tell me if this is a do or a don't. Toys.
Yep.
Balls. Frisbees?
It depends. So you could bring them along, but like with the treat side of things, toys can cause problems with other dogs, you know. But I used to have a dog, Milo, he was totally ball obsessed, right? I threw the ball, he brought it back. That would go on for hours. He would be on the floor, out of breath, you know, totally blue, and he would still go chase that ball. So that's what his focus was, and it would be okay. But if there was another dog like that, I probably had to be really cautious, because he was really protective of that ball, right? So it's just picking and choosing when to bring them out. If there's no other dogs, fantastic. If there's other dogs that you can see that are playing really well together, totally fine. If you're concerned, pop them away.
Mm. And last question. Well, I don't know if it's the last question, but I'm going to say that.
Go for it.
It's if there are concerns with the dog park. So maybe you've seen an incident, or the fence is broken, or the water fountain is overflowing and the place is flooding. Who is responsible for dog parks?
The council. So the local council where that dog park is who you should contact. So generally there would be signs around saying if something's damaged, please call here. But for what you would do is you would contact the local council where that dog park is situated, let them know what the problem is, or if you've seen a dog fight or you've seen something happen that is of concern, you let them know and they should be the ones to deal with that.
Mm.
We've just gotten a message in. This is just saying, this is a plea to small dog owners. Don't bring super small tennis balls to the dog park because they're choking. Choking, yeah. It says hiking. But choking, yeah. They're a choking hazard for big dogs. I didn't realise just how much you have to think of, just from the space, when to let them off their lead, the type of dogs that are there.
Sometimes I have a separate area as well, so small dog areas and large dog areas. So in those cases, generally okay, but again, it's just using your own common sense, making sure if there are a lot of dogs around, just be really cautious. If there is a big range in sizes and types of dogs, maybe don't bring those small toys or treats out, you know, just be cautious and be aware of what's happening around you.
We love
my brain just went, don't bring those small dogs out, because my friend had a toy poodle, and we went to a dog park before it got a sectioned off area, and a husky decided to pick her up in its mouth.
Oh, nice.
And because she was like, ow, ow. Wow. Like she makes that noise, and they're like, oh, what a fun toy, and just picked it up and started walking away. And I was like, oh my
it's
god,
my baby.
I'm the worst dog sitter ever.
There's so much to think about. We love it, and we are going to find out about our pet of the month right after this. You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean. It's 21 minutes past 8.
Joy. That girl when I'm
you. That's Bex. I'm That Girl. It's 24 minutes past 8.
And we have Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue joining us this morning, and it's time for us to find out all about our pet of the month.
Yay.
Well, it's not just pet, is it? It's pets.
We have two today.
Yeah.
We have a bonded pair of cats called Beatrice and Betty, who are desperate, absolutely desperate to find their new homes. They are the best cats I have ever met.
So really? Does bonded pair like mean... like siblings?
Well, they could mean siblings, but generally bonded pairs are animals that really, really get along well together.
Yeah.
And when separated, they tend to fret a little bit. Mm. So these two cats have come into our care from no fault of their own. They had a bit of a bad start, but they've been in our care for a little while now. And they're only quite young. I believe they're close to 6 months or under.
Oh, cute.
Very, very sweet. They've been in foster care with one of our wonderful foster carers who has a little dog. We've got photos of them sitting on the bed, being groomed by this dog. They are absolutely delightful.
We were squealing looking at the pictures.
I went through all the pictures and look, a lot of the times it just looks like there's one cat spooning with the dog. Do they both equally love the dog as much?
They both do, and they love each other just as much. And I think it's very hard. At the moment, pet adoptions seem to be down. I think the world's a little bit upside down. People are doing it tough and there's a lot going on. So I think taking in a pet may be too much in some cases. Mm. So taking in two can be a big ask. It's almost a very big instant family, hey? But in saying that, these two guys, they keep each other company. They love each other. You could leave them for the day while you were at work and they would have so much fun together without causing trouble. They're really sweet and they are the most cuddliest cats ever. They could live indoors in an apartment. They just want each other and a soft couch to sleep on.
Now, is it harder to take home two cats instead of just one single cat?
It makes no difference, to be honest. Sometimes it's actually easier, especially with bonded pairs, because they already know each other. With a single cat, when you're taking them in, they need to get used to a new environment, new people, new smells, new sounds. In this instance, they've got a companion that they can rely on for security already.
I kind of love that. Like, it just kind of means you know that they've got each other. They can help each other acclimatize to a space in a really lovely way. And it kind of gives you this great opportunity to bring someone into a space instead of having to start everything from scratch.
Exactly. And they're so pretty. Two black and white fluffs. Their coats are gorgeous. They have beautiful markings. Please have a look at their photos. Have a look at their profiles online. I'm sure we'll post them today.
Yes, we will be. Right. Yeah, they'll be with our podcast. You just go to joy.org.au/joybreakfast and we'll obviously put pictures on our socials because they're so cute. Yeah.
Betty and Beatrice, let's get them adopted. Mm-hmm. They deserve it. And if the dog comes with it, that's even it.
I don't think the foster carer will be too happy with that.
Maybe you can have play dates still though.
Not at the dog park.
Now we've had quite a few messages come through. Someone asking to do the dog bark again. So Alison from Bentley has sent through a very handy piece of information. Most councils have an online system called Snap Send Soul.
Yes.
And it works. They have to respond to the pics that are sent to them. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, you can just take a picture. I will say they respond more to ones that involve pets and graffiti than they do to ones that involve parking and bins.
Oh, interesting.
That's just from my personal experience.
Oh. Okay, so it's not just pet related. It's anything
council related. If there's like a hole in the sidewalk or if there's some sort of danger in the community, you can take a photo and it alerts the council to that. So that's a really good point. I'm glad that somebody shared that. Fantastic.
And Ashley also messaged in.
Yeah, Ashley said it's not just knowing your dog, but you need to listen to the other owners. Mm. If I'm asking you to recall your dog, it's not me being a jerk. Some people might be, but I'm not. So maybe listen to other dog owners. You might not be seeing what they're seeing.
Yeah.
It's being aware of what's happening around you, you know, people and dogs and the environment. So just knowing your dog, understanding your dog and having some basic knowledge of dog behavior in general so that you can see what's happening and make quick decisions if needed.
Perfect. Well, I love it. Every single time you come in, I get so many top tips, even though I don't have a pet. It's so handy. Thank you for coming.
I can fix that, Dean, by the way.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, I just need to get my apartment clean.
You got two cats.
Don't worry. Oh, that's true. Yeah,
this month.
Yeah,
I'll bring them next time.
Thank you for joining us, Marissa. And we can't wait to have you back next month as we get our pet on.
You're on Joy Breakfast.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.